Does this sound familiar, Tom, this music?
I like that song, guys. I like that song a lot.
Did you choose it?
Yeah, you know, I've been running out to that for God, probably 4 or 5 years now.
So obviously you know the name of the song, right?
Well, yeah, I do.
Well, what do you like about it? Do you like the lyrics? Do you sing along?
Yeah, I'm a fan of his. So I like all his music.
Hey, Tom, I'm not a big proponent of reading body language or dissecting subtle facial expressions. That said, did you enjoy or feel as good about yesterday's win as the previous five?
I mean, that's a real good win for us. It's a good team. They have a good team in all phases. So they defense is a very challenging defense because they can rush the passer so well. You know, their special teams, we saw what they did against the Jets the week before. And then offensively, they have such a unique style that, you know, you can't – there's no other team you face throughout the season like the Dolphins. So it's a – they were at 3-0 in the division when we played them.
Right.
So it's really a big win for us. I mean, to get to 6-2 and to – does that make with them 3-5?
Yes.
You know, so that gives us – you know, about a 2.5-game lead on them.
So yeah. I'm reading into it more than there is. There just seemed like something unsatisfactory about the three-game lead. Three-game
lead,
yeah. Was there something unsatisfactory about the game from your perspective?
Well, you know, I thought we could have played better in certain areas. I mean, I think offensively there was plenty of drives that got stopped based on, you know, our execution. And, you know, we left plenty of points out there. It was, you know, turnover we had an interception, we had some missed opportunities in the red area. We had a chance to run out the clock at the end of the game, but didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think those things is maybe the 10-year veteran in me thinks, you know, God, I wish we'd have done a little bit better. But at the same time, you know, I felt great last night and getting the win. These games are hard to win. They're very hard to win. And to come out of a game like that, that's a physical game, I think I was just emotionally a little bit tired after the game. But, you know, I think that was a very, very good win for us.
And, you know, when I watched that first interception, Tom, when the rookie picks you off and it makes a great play behind Randy Moss, I'm thinking, good. You know, this is gonna piss these guys off, and that won't happen again. What is your reaction when you start off the game like that? Does it help you focus more? Does it make you does the anger help or hurt you as a player?
I would say it probably sharpens you up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Some guys, you know, you throw a pick and, you know, like with Kurt Warner sometimes. I mean, he threw, like, 5 picks last week.
Yep.
And then threw 5 touchdowns last night,
yeah.
You know, yesterday.
Right.
So some guys, you know, interceptions aren't that big a deal. I talked to Phil Simms after the game. Yeah, I told you guys that last week after the London game.
Mm.
And, you know, he was saying, you know, hey, you just – those interceptions happen, and you know, you got to keep trying to fit the ball into those tight spaces. And the guy made a great play. He's, you know, a young rookie who's a first-round pick this year, Vontae Davis, and he made a great play on the ball. And anyone who can intercept the ball like that off of, you know, covering Randy Moss, I mean, he's obviously got a lot of physical talent. So,
and you know what, Moss, I said right after this, he's going to do something, and he makes the one-handed catch, then he busts the big one for 70 yards. It was almost like, I don't know if it sharpened his focus, but it seemed to make him more determined to show this rookie something.
Yeah, he's such a competitor out there, and it's interesting in practice, you know, he's just the ultimate competitor. And between he and Wes, I mean, the chemistry those two have together and what they're able to do, you know, I feel like we're always going to have somebody open in the route. If they really focus on Randy, that's when Wes gets the ball. If they really focus on Wes, that's when Randy gets the ball. And they both understand that. And then, you know, the way the running game was yesterday, I thought we ran the ball, you know, very effectively. You know, so there were a lot of positives to take out of yesterday. There's a few little things that end up, you know, holding us back from all of us feeling great about a win like that yesterday. But it's obvious that, you know, we played a very good team. And when you play a very good team, you got to play your very best in order to be completely satisfied at the end of the day.
Tom, we hear veteran linebackers and, in particular, defensive backs say it's important to read the quarterback's eyes. And I'm wondering how important it is for the quarterback to maintain a poker face. For example, when you saw Ben Watson lined up on the Tampa Bay linebacker, both he and you knew that that's where you were going with that particular matchup. I assume the same thing probably happened on the two-point conversion to Randy, that you probably just had to do everything you could not to laugh when you saw the setup. Does the quarterback have to not look wide-eyed and have a poker face when you know they're reading your eyes?
Yeah, and I think as a quarterback, what I always try to do, I mean, you typically have, at least in our offense, every offense has five eligible receivers on every particular play. Now, sometimes we don't send five out of the route, but when we do, you're not going to have time to drop back and evaluate five different guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that. So a lot of the times I'll see the coverage, and based on the coverage, maybe two of those guys you already eliminate from your progression. And then you see your first guy, and if he's open, you throw it by the top of the drop. If you haven't thrown it to the first guy, you got to throw it to the second guy. And if you haven't thrown it to the second guy, you got to move around a little bit and throw it to the third guy. Mm-hmm. So you can't you never want to let the defense know which two guys you're eliminating. And obviously, you can't let them know where that first read is going to be. So it's just as a quarterback, that's the guy you want to throw the ball to. That's the guy you got to. Yeah, you got to keep them from, allowing them to see your eyes or your read or your points. That's critical.
There was no mistaking your emotions late in the second quarter after the Ben Watson holding call. In a weird play, you rolled to your left, tried to throw across your body, first and 21, I believe it was, and the camera had a close-up of you screaming at somebody. Was that at the officials? Was that at a teammate? Was that at the opposition? Are we still pissed about the Watson holding call?
I think I was pretty pissed about the Watson call.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. They made this big rule a few years ago about, illegal contact with the defensive backs. It was basically the Patriot rule, after we beat the Colts.
Right.
They complained about, us being too physical. So, they implemented the rule. Well, now I think it's gone back to the way it was before, and they're just letting us play. So I think it's just frustrating for, an offensive player when, we're being contacted downfield, but then, we make, I wouldn't even say contact, but, Ben's not even trying to run into the guy. Mm-hmm. The guy runs into him. And they call the flag on us. So, I think it's just the natural part of the game. When the calls go for you, you're excited. When they go against you, you're always someone to yell at, which, I think I was just frustrated by the fact that we were first and 20 and, didn't get the ball in after potentially being down inside the 10-yard
right.
line.
We never got to see it. CBS
they
never
didn't show
showed
the,
it.
The
they
penalty.
Were too busy showing Joey Porter's face all game. Hey, did you know that he played? Did you notice him out there, Joey Porter?
Yeah, we did. I think, it's very motivating for our team throughout the course of the week and into the game. When you hear that kind of stuff, and I think the guys take it to heart and the coaches take it to heart. And I mean, he's a great player. He's been a great player for a long time. But, it's always great when you come out of the game and you understand that you kept one of their best players from being an impact on the game. So we felt good about that. We got to see him again in 4 weeks. So
right.
I'm sure he'll be juiced up for that game. And, hopefully we can go out there and perform the same way.
I disagreed with him that you actually make calls on the field. I thought that was a little bit much. But I'm starting to think that you might keep the time or at least control the clock there at the end. Did you see you made, I think, one of your worst mental errors, but I don't think it was your fault because you initially said spike the ball and then somebody dissuaded you and convinced you to run a play, even though you knew you didn't have time to run a play, correct?
We were going to spike it, and then I looked up at the clock, and then I saw we had like 12 seconds left. And I said, rather than spike it, it's only third down. I know I'm going to throw. I'm just going to try to give Randy a shot in the end zone. So, by the time we snapped the ball, obviously, there was probably less than 5 seconds. and then throwing the ball to Randy that, you know, ran it down to one. So, no, that was, they were telling me to spike it on the sideline, and I think I was just realizing that, you know, maybe I can, you know, get one more playoff with the shot at throwing a touchdown on third down, because I was only going to throw it to Randy anyway. I wasn't going to throw the ball inside or anything. So when I looked up and saw 1 second on the clock, I realized I won't be doing that again.
I think that second might have been a gift to. I think the Dolphins might have had a case.
I think
on
Junior
that one
Seau
time.
Was working the clock at that point.
Is that what he was doing?
Yeah, Junior was doing that.
I'm glad he was.
Hey, Tom. When you're going to go to the line on a fourth and a quarter of an inch, and by the way, if they lean the sticks vertically, that's a first down. If they lean it toward the goalpost that you're driving toward, you're an eighth of an inch short. And if they lean it back toward the line of scrimmage, you've made it by a full inch, be that as it may. When you're going to the line of scrimmage and a hard count, do you explain to your offensive lineman, we're not snapping it, don't move no matter what?
We communicate about that in the huddle, and it's a tough spot for the offensive line when it's fourth down and a quarter of an inch, and you know you're trying to get off the ball, and the guy across from you is 360 pounds, and you're on the call side of the run or the call side of the sneak. You're trying to get off on the ball and drive the guy. So, you know, I think in those situations you just got to, you know, and for me, I got to be smart and make sure that stuff like that doesn't happen, because I mean that was a big play, and I think we were all frustrated that we weren't able to convert and then kneel on the ball. But it's just one of those plays where we got to learn from it, and hopefully if that situation comes up where we have a chance on a fourth down at the end of the game to run the clock out, that we do it.
So there was a play called. You were going to snap the ball and try to get the first down. There wasn't just going to be a hard count and try to draw them off sides?
No, we were going for it.
Oh, well, that changes everything. I assumed it was just going to be a hard count and trying to draw them off sides, and Neil jumped, and I said, well, if it were a hard count, you're not going to snap the ball. You should have known better. But there was a play called.
Yeah, we were going to run it.
Hey, Tom, you and Peyton Manning are forever linked together. I mean, you're the two best quarterbacks of your generation. I think when it's all said and done, you'll be the two best ever. Obviously, you've won more. He's put up more numbers. You're both big stars off the field. What is, when you look at him, what does he do better than you do? What does he do that amazes you?
You know, I think every time you play him, and hopefully when a team plays against us, you know, they know what they're going to get. I mean, it's not like Peyton's going to go out there and, you know, lose the game for the Colts. I mean, it's not the way it is. You know, I think when you play him, you got to realize, you know, you're going to get a guy who's probably going to throw for 300 yards. You know, he's probably not going to throw any interceptions. And if you get a chance at one, you got to make the play. You know that schematically they're going to be in the best play possible on every play. I mean, he's not going to run the ball into a loaded up front. And if you give him his one-on-one matchups with his best players, that's where the ball is going to go. So everything that you ask a quarterback to do, that's what he does.
And never gets sacked either, which is the most impressive thing, I think.
Yeah, he's been sacked 7 times all season. I mean, he's, you know, they do a good job of, you know, the Colts do of, you know, they're running their play action pass, you know, and then when Peyton feels the pressure, you know, he throws it away, you know, which us slow guys typically do. We don't like holding the ball too long, so we realize that when we're holding it, we're not making any yards, and we'll never make any yards. So in order to advance the ball, you got to throw it to the guys who, in their case, Clark or Wayne or a Dye. I mean, those are really their go-to guys. So he's just he's a great competitor. I mean, I think he's always doing the right thing and saying the right thing, and I've got a great appreciation for him and his style of play.
Do you consider him a friend?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, we have a lot in common in a lot of ways. I mean, we're both, obviously our professions are the same. We're about the same age. We spend a lot of time together at different places, different events, and we have a lot that we like to talk about. So, you know, we're kind of football junkies, and whenever we get together, it's all football. And I think he's just a great player. He's done it consistently for a long time, and he's never missed a game, which is, you know, which is pretty unbelievable. So in order to beat these guys, you gotta play a great game. Every time we played them, we've had to play great, and that's what it's going to take.
Tom, this next question, I guess, requires you to do a little bit of psychoanalysis. Does the Colts escape yesterday by the skin of their teeth hurt or help them in their week preparing for New England?
Well, you know, Houston's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 5-3 coming into the game. They have a pretty good offense, you know, a very good defense, very well coached. You know, I saw they had a chance at the end to kick the field goal to tie it.
Right.
Which, you know, those are ones you can't miss, you know. Can't miss those. 42 yards in a dome. I mean, it's to beat the Colts. I mean, you just, there's no way. So the Colts, they're going to prepare the same way, you know, they always do. It's whatever happened to the Hughes, that's not going to affect our game at all. Whatever we did against, you know, Miami's not going to affect this game. This game's going to be about from what we do today when we go into the stadium to after the game Sunday night, and the time before the game is more important, or is just as important as the 3 hours that we're playing. So it's going to be a great week of preparation for us. You know, I haven't seen much film on them yet, but they always find a way to do something different when they play us. So we got to be prepared for everything.
They don't have any cornerbacks left. They all got hurt, and Bob Sanders got hurt too. So you're in luck.
I like it. I'll take it. You know, we're missing about half our offense. So, you know, it's the walking wounded out there. We're going to bring the guys we got healthy, and they're going to bring the guys they got healthy, and it's probably going to be a typical, you know, Colt Patriot game.
I was impressed that you could pull out yesterday's win even without your best fullback, Dan Connolly. He had to shift him somewhere else. I don't know.
That's right. Hey. You did a great job, man. That's you know, Cope, I've taken so many snaps from Cope over the years. We have such great communication between the two of us, and you know, he's one of my best friends on the team. And Dan stepped in yesterday, Connolly, and really played very well. It's always tough to do, and that center quarterback exchange is something that's, you know, you have no play if you can't get that. So
I didn't even notice. Did he do the shotgun?
Yeah, he did.
He did a great job at that too.
I mean, he's been on the practice squad 2 years ago, and you know, on the roster last year, and he's really developed into a very dependable, consistent player for us. And he's got athletic ability. When you put him in a fullback, you obviously think that, you know, he can do things athletically for you. So, and he's strong as can be. So he's great to have on the team.
Well, you apparently made the adjustment okay. Is it fair to say that you know Copen's butt like the back of your hand? That'd be literally, wouldn't it?
There's only one other butt on this planet that I like. And my wife.
There you go. Hey, do you have a theory as to how Kerry Collins, a solid NFL quarterback, can lead the Tennessee Titans to an 0-6 record, and then Vince Young comes in off the bench with all kind of question marks, and they win two games in a row? As a quarterback, can you figure that out?
Well, I would say it probably has a lot more to do with than just the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
I think they, Kerry Collins is a very good quarterback. They were 13-3 last year with him. He's been a consistent quarterback for a long time. And Vince came in and he's done some good things. I saw, you know, a couple of his touchdowns yesterday. I think he had a rushing touchdown. He's been a good player. Vince has. I mean, I think it's just. Sometimes your matchups are better with one guy. Sometimes they're better with the other. And Vince led them to the playoffs a few years ago. And, you know, I think some injuries have bothered him. But, I mean, he's doing a good job. And Tennessee, obviously, after our game, has turned some things around.
We were talking earlier trying to determine which member of the New England Patriots yesterday did their job the best. Because that's the mantra down there, just do your job. And I made the case that I thought, you know, with all due respect to, you know, you and Randy and Dallas Thomas was impactful, that your kicker, Gostkowski, probably did his job better than anyone else. A, do you agree with that? And B, is that appreciated by the guys who actually sweat and get hit and get hurt on this football team when the kicker has a day like that?
Did you see Randy? He was the happiest guy.
Yeah, Randy was very happy coming off the field.
That second touchback, he was ready to, you know, give Gostkowski a big kiss.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're looking down there and on, we come off the field and we score a touchdown, and you know they run our kicking team out onto the field, and you look down and you see Ted Ginn down there.
Yeah.
I mean, believe me, that's as dangerous as a play as any play that Miami's offense could run. So when he kicks the ball out of the back of the end zone, I mean, it's just it's a big relief for us. And we've sat in film all week and watched clip after clip of Ted Ginn return kickoffs for touchdown and make big plays and spark their team. So, you know, we're all in that together. I mean, if he runs it back for a touchdown, the offense is going to be, you know, pretty pissed, and the defense is going to be pissed. And so it's nice when Steve is able to eliminate one phase of the game for them. And covering kicks is the biggest play, momentum play, in football. I mean, it's right after you score a touchdown or at the start of a half. And I mean, that's, you don't ever want to see the other team return it to the 50-yard line, because then you're battling field position all day. So for potentially a whole half. So he's done a great job. He's got a strong leg. He's a very, mellow guy. I mean, he's always very consistent in his personality, and he's had some great years for us. He's replaced the legend in Adam and kind of creating his own little legacy.
Quarterback question of the week. It comes to us from Kathleen in South Weymouth. And we sort of touched on this, but I guess she wants you to expand upon it. Hey, Tom, she says, how important is the connection you have, both physically and mentally, to the center?
Yeah, well, it's as I said, Cope and I have been together for a long time, and our communication, whether it's identifying who the mic is, whether it's redirecting the protection, whether it's calling to, you know, with the different snap counts that we use, you know, we're 100% on. I think we've had one bad snap in, you know, our entire time playing together.
Knock on wood.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Against Denver. Yeah, they actually called it a fumble. This was when we played at Denver on that Monday night game that we won, in the last second, we took the safety. Milani snapped at the goalpost. But anyway, yeah, he snapped the ball, and I recovered the fumble, but they give the ball to Denver. I was real pissed. But you got to have that anticipation of the snap, and especially in the shotgun, for the center to throw a nice soft toss back at you where you can find the laces quick, because we have a lot of quick throws in our offense. Mm-hmm. So we're always on the same page, Cope and I, and you know, I'm not really sure his status yet, you know, for the coming weeks. But you know, if he's not in there, the other guy's got to step up, and he's got to play the same way Cope's played.
Tom, you don't strike me as a superstitious guy. You know, the throwback uniforms changing from, you know, old school to new school don't seem to affect you. You're not one of those guys that doesn't change things if you're winning, right? You're not superstitious, correct?
Not really.
Okay.
I bet there's something.
Can I give you three words of advice then as we go forward here?
Sure.
Go see Peeny.
Peeny was there yesterday. He grabbed my ace. I got to do something with that.
You got to do something with that, man.
I know.
Okay.
I got the beard going and the long. Yeah. Hey, it's wintertime, man.
Keep your ears warm.
I'm every day for 4 hours practicing.
All right, Tom. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck against Indianapolis. We're looking forward to it.
Guys, take care.
All right.